Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
When I was in high school, my friends and I used to walk to McDonald's after the last class of the day. We did this religiously, sometimes every day of the week even. A few of my friends that I did this with actually lived in town as well, and so it worked out quite well. If we ever got bored of walking the streets, or dropping by every fast food place or Goodwill in town, and even playing basketball, we would just go to said friend's house to hang out until his mom got home. Sometimes she was cool with us all hanging out there, but more often than not, Preston's mom would make us leave when she got home. She was usually okay with one or two of us being there, but any time the number exceeded that, usually we were told that we had to leave. Which was understandable. I mean, it was a pretty small house, and having a bunch of rambunctious teens over every day after you get out of work could be daunting. Especially when they caused havoc, like we did. We weren't bad kids, but we did smoke weed and stuff like that.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets, with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Going back and thinking about it, I wish I didn't smoke so much so early on. I'm completely sober now, by the way. I don't smoke or drink at all. Nothing against it, it's just not for me. I just wish us kids didn't get high all the time, and instead took our mental and physical health much more serious. I had no idea how much I would regret the countless days and years of smoking prematurely as a minor. I think it messed with my head more than I'd like to admit. Don't get me wrong, I'm living my best life now, but I would have been much better off without it. Weed definitely isn't the worst thing in the world by any means, but it comes with its consequences, especially as a kid smoking it nearly every day. On this day that I'm talking about, it was just like any other. We were walking after school. When I say we, I'm talking about Preston, Tyler, Joshua, and Ethan. And then, of course, me. My name is Connor, by the way. School was out at 2:19 every day, and we would usually walk to McDonald's or the park. This day specifically, we walked to McDonald's. I usually didn't have any money, but this time I remember I did. So I walked up to the register and I bought an M&M McFlurry. I would buy one of those whenever I could because they were my favorite. I remember that McDonald's was rather quiet and not busy at all that day. It was very unusual. I think there was like one other customer that was there besides us kids. And even then, I think they left shortly after we got there. Of course, we took this opportunity to be loud and obnoxious pigs. I mean, it was only right. We had the McDonald's to ourselves and we were all high as shit. That excitement was only short-lived, though, because after a few minutes of us causing a scene, a man came over to us. He had a long brown hair, was old, and had a creepy demeanor to him. He introduced himself as Billy. I don't know why, but when he said his name, Preston started to burst out laughing. I'm not gonna lie, that triggered a chain reaction and spiraled the rest of us into a small chuckle. Preston was legit dying laughing, though, and he couldn't contain himself at all. I felt bad for the man, but I really couldn't help it. It was just funny. You guys might not get why it was so funny, but let me explain some. This guy kind of looked like an incest hillbilly, so when he said his name and it matched out to be with what he looked like, we died inside laughing. That's when the creepy man stood there and gave Preston this menacing look. I swear I could see Preston sweating in regret out of the corner of my eye without even looking at him. I swore I even heard him gulp when the man tightened up his menacing eyes onto him. It seemed as though Billy was trying to hold back his rage. I mean, it wasn't that serious. We weren't trying to actually make fun of him, but I guess I can understand why he was so upset. Suddenly, things weren't so funny anymore. Yes, we all smoked weed, but we weren't those typical stoner tough kids. We all played sports, and we were preppy, and we didn't have an ounce of Sigma in us at all. What I'm trying to say is, we were not ready for what this man had in store for us. Especially me. I was never the confrontational type. We learned that he worked there and he threatened to kick us out. We apologized to him, and after a while, we eventually got him to walk away. Thought it was very strange that he said he worked there. I mean, he wasn't wearing a uniform or anything, and he was acting a bit abnormal for a worker. After a while of discussing what just happened, we all decided to leave. I told my parents about the man, and my mom called the McDonald's and spoke with the general manager. We found out that he doesn't actually work there anymore, and that he was fired years ago. Apparently, he used to work as a janitor and a line cook, but he was fired one night when he attempted to stab a customer in the parking lot because the customer had complained politely about his order being wrong. Billy was arrested, and he went to jail and was deemed mentally incompetent and sent to the loony bin for years. I guess he keeps coming back and harassing customers. It's a good thing we didn't push him over the edge, though, because maybe he would have tried to stab one of us. If one of us would have made a passive-aggressive comment that he took offense to in any way, shape, or form, it's very clear that he would have been capable of the unthinkable. Despite having the police called on him multiple times, he kept showing up to the McDonald's. Eventually, they got him arrested for trespassing, and since it broke his probation-type deal, I think he either went back to jail or the loony bin again. I know this isn't the scariest story in the world, but this was something that really happened. I'm thankful nothing else turned out of this, though, and we never saw him again. We stopped going to that McDonald's as much, and we would usually go to Taco Bell or Subway since. I don't know what kind of mental illness he has, but apparently he was a prime example of someone who was given a second chance, and didn't necessarily deserve it. With me being an empath, I kind of feel bad for him. But at the same time, at some point, something has to happen. We have to keep this man off the streets for good and keep people safe. I don't know who hired him or who decided to give him a second chance, or even the person that got the final say in making him a free man. But I'm not so sure it was the right thing. Mental illness is a real thing, and it's unfortunate. But for God Almighty, we have to keep the streets a safe place for everyone. Trust me, you wouldn't want your kids to run into this guy. He's too unpredictable, and a parent's worst nightmare. I don't want to read too far into it, because he didn't prove it to us, but we got a very creepy vibe from him as well, like pedophile creepy. I used to work the drive-through window at a McDonald's near my house. I hated the job, and even though it was relatively easy and simple, I could not get over the fact of how little pay I was receiving for all the duties I had. When I first started, I made $9 an hour, and after 2 years, they made me a manager, and it bumped me up to $13 an hour, which is a pretty dang good raise. But the amount of responsibility that was added on for that raise to be justifiable simply wasn't worth it for me, and that was partially the reason I ended up quitting. But this incident I'm about to tell you was the real deal breaker for me, and why I said adios to that place. I want to say real quick that a job is a job, and I respect anyone for working with what they have, and stepping up and doing what they have to do to survive. I'm certainly not going to judge anyone for working at McDonald's, but it simply wasn't worth my time and energy anymore, especially considering I was able to get a much better job that I'm actually excited to go to every morning when I wake up. Our McDonald's was a 24/7 location at the time, and this was all before COVID. There was this one guy that came through the drive-thru practically every night around the same time, and he would hit on me every single time. He would call me pretty, ask for my number, the traditional man move. No matter how many times I told him I wasn't interested, he persisted. I gotta give it to him though. As uncomfortable as he made me, his persistence was insane. It was unmatched with anything that I'd ever seen in my life. I mean it. Every single day for months he did this. Eventually one day though, I was having a particularly bad work week and having a really horrible night on top of it. So I kind of snapped on him when he asked me out for the millionth time. You fucking creep, get the hell out of here and don't come back or I'll have you trespass and you'll be arrested for harassment. I gave him his food and gave him a conniving smile. I thought he would get the memo after that, but I should have known better with how persistent he was, that he was a walking red flag and most likely insane. I kind of had an instant regret moment because I don't like to act like that, and normally I wouldn't. I know it's not ladylike to yell, so I was embarrassed. I try to be competent and not emotional when unnecessary, but something got a hold of me that night, and I couldn't keep it in any longer. The guy drove off, and I thought that was going to be the end of it. Unfortunately, that was nowhere near the end. Because within a matter of a few minutes, he was right in front of my face. I mean, literally, he walked inside, and he even came to the kitchen area I was standing. Keep in mind, this was at 11 o'clock at night, and there were only two other workers there. One of which was this nerdy guy who would not be able to protect me at all. He was tiny, skinny, and had not a single mean bone in his body. He was a very skittish young man. And lastly, the other person that was there was this younger girl. I forget her name, but it's irrelevant. She was only 16 and she wasn't supposed to be there in the first place. The general manager would make her stay late to help her because we were really short-staffed. She obviously wasn't much help to me either. Hell, they were probably both just as scared as I was, if not even more. The restaurant part of the McDonald's I worked at closed at 8 p.m, so whoever left last didn't lock the door like they were supposed to at 8 p.m. Which was Dylan, I'm pretty sure. He was another manager, and that was a part of his job to do. He must have forgotten to lock it. I was in deep shit now regardless, and my heart sank below my chest. He threatened me and he said he had a gun. He didn't pull it out yet, but he said if any of us attempted to call the police, he would use it on us. I tried my best to defuse the situation to get him to calm down, but it took like 15 minutes of this to eventually get him to leave. Thankfully, nobody got hurt. He eventually walked himself out after a long 15 minutes of convincing him that I won't call the police when he leaves, and he finally ran off. I locked the door immediately, but not before screaming at him and calling him a pussy for acting the way he did. I don't know why or what got a hold of me to do that. I just had this pent-up anger, and it came out of me almost unwillingly. My dumbass had to further accelerate the situation by yelling at him, and by doing that, I made everything 10 times worse. That's why your ugly, fat slob ass will never have a girlfriend, you weirdo incel, I screamed. He turned around immediately and started running back towards the store. I, of course, locked the door and ran to the back. So this McDonald's was connected to a gas station, and in the back they had a door that opened up to either McDonald's or the Marathon gas station. Typically, the door was unlocked because the owner of the McDonald's also owned the gas station. And since our store didn't have a bathroom, all the employees had to use the bathroom in the gas station when we had to go. We all ran back there in an attempt to hide and to call the police. Evidently, they had a new hire working late shift that night right next door, and it just so happened that he was a bigger, masculine-looking man. So to our luck, he took control from there. He helped us hide in the back, and he sent the store into lockdown. We escaped through a secret hidden door in the corner of the store, and I was able to run off and get in my car and speed off. Despite everyone telling me not to, I just felt like I had to run. Luckily, my car was in the back corner of the lot, which was the complete opposite side of which this guy was on. Everyone else stayed, and eventually the intruder also ran off. The guy's name is Gregory something. I don't remember his last name, but he had a warrant out for his arrest and was eventually caught a few months later. I never once returned to that McDonald's. I don't really want to talk about the exact location, and I also don't really want to say my name or the names of anyone associated with this story for privacy reasons. I would like to be anonymous, and hopefully it stays that way. What I will say was this took place at a McDonald's in a bigger city. I was with my friend who I'm going to call Jessica for the sake of this story. She was my best friend all throughout high school. We were really close and always had each other's backs on everything. Especially when it comes to stuff like this. We were having a girls' night out at this little dive bar in town. It was on a Monday night, and I remember there weren't many people there. We had both just taken time off of work, and we were planning on hanging out all week for a little getaway, if you will. I would say around 7:30 we left the bar, as we had already been there a few hours and probably had a few too many to drink. I realized when I stood up that it was probably not the best idea for me to drive, so Jessica offered to take me home. We came to the conclusion that we were hungry, though, so we agreed to get McDonald's. It was quick and easy, so that's what we did. We actually ended up walking there rather than driving because it was just down the street, and it was going to be fun to walk anyway. It wouldn't have been smart to drive such a short distance, when in reality, it was already iffy as to if we should have been driving in the first place. I'm huge on not drinking and driving. Everyone swears it the same way, But I've lost two close family members from drunk drivers, so I've always swore to myself after that I would never partake in it no matter what. I wasn't really sure if Jessica was good to drive, but I trusted her because she knew how I felt about it. Anyways, we got to the McDonald's and we were worried the lobby was going to be closed, but we still took the risk of walking, and thankfully it wasn't. But when we got there, it was rather dark. The sun was finally setting, and what little light we had left was fading away by the second. There was a man sitting outside. He looked to be homeless or stressed out, or maybe both. He was sitting in the front outside by the glass window, not even in a seat. He was sort of just laying there on the ground. But he perked right up when he heard us, and he walked up to us, and he asked if he could ask us a question. He asked for $20, and I told him I didn't have the money, and that I needed it for McDonald's. We walked in, and we got our food, and I ate like half of it. I only ate what my stomach could handle. Instead of throwing out my fries that I barely touched, I handed them off to the man that was outside. He seemed grateful, but he tried once more. "Hey, what about 15 bucks? Please, I'm really starving. I would truly appreciate it more than you know," he said. Jessica ended up buying the food for me, so I still had a $10 bill that I figured was better off with him. So I gave it to him with a smile and I started walking away. "Are you kidding me, bitch?" he said. I turned around in disbelief at what I just heard. He was pissed off because I only gave him $10 when he asked for $15. I explained to him that it was all I had and how he should be grateful. I actually then demanded that he give me my money back, which probably wasn't such a great idea and not really worth the hassle, but I was just so pissed off in the moment. "You want your stupid money, you dumb hoe? Come get it then." He then put the money in his pants and told me to come get it. I practically gagged and we started walking away. He then started following us and he started screaming at us. It was almost unintelligible, but I could make out some of what he was saying. He was basically calling me names over and over and saying things I don't really care to repeat, like threatening to sexually assault me and a bunch of other crazy shit. It got to the point where we had to start running and I called the police and started crying. He was kind of old and frail, and also probably malnourished and dehydrated, so it wasn't too hard to get away from him. Some people are just so freaking weird and crazy, I can't even begin to fathom or understand it. The police said they couldn't find him that night, and we didn't want to keep waiting around, so we ended up letting it go. They weren't going to put out a warrant out for something like that, so all they could really do was keep an eye on things. Their words, not mine. I just remember feeling so violated when he was talking to us like that. I genuinely believed I was going to have to fight for my life, but luckily it didn't come to that, and I know Jessica and I could have probably beat him up together, 2 against 1, but you never know what someone's capable of. I mean, for the love of goodness, we didn't even do anything to set this man off, and he was that mad. He was so unpredictable that I thought maybe he was going to pull out a weapon and try to use it on us. I mean, you really never know anymore in this crazy world of ours. We lived in a connected townhouse with our two units abutting each other. Our street was lined with beautiful flowering trees and was quite nice, but Providence is weird in that the conditions of the houses and little neighborhoods can vary drastically street by street. We were near a few rough neighborhoods, but I felt relatively safe in my new home. I remember a few nights prior to this specific night, I saw a Facebook post with a safety tip to put your car keys next to your bedside, so if anything ever happens, you can press the alarm and scare an intruder off. I've never been overly concerned about my safety, and rarely took advantage of any tips I saw on Facebook, so I'm not sure how or why I suddenly decided to heed this advice. I was reading a book in bed with my light on in my second floor bedroom, hours after putting my daughter to sleep, when I heard a loud sound outside. I peered out the window to take a look and saw nothing. I had taken some melatonin that evening, turned off the light, and went to sleep. It was maybe a half hour later or so when I was suddenly woken up by what felt like almost an earthquake. The room shook and I heard a loud thud. Half awake, I gasped and sat up. Wondering if it was my imagination or if I actually felt something, I immediately ran to my daughter's room, thinking she might have fallen off her bed or injured herself or something. As I swung her door open, there she was, sleeping soundly and sweetly. I was so confused. I heard another loud bang and had this eerie feeling that something was wrong, but I couldn't figure out what.
I grabbed my car key fob and took it downstairs as I nervously inspected the first floor. I swore to myself if I heard one more sound, I would press the alarm just in case, but I didn't. It was silent after that. I returned to bed and took a while to fall asleep again, but soon shut my eyes. The next day went on like any other day, when I noticed a friend of mine had repeatedly called me in the afternoon. I picked up my daughter from preschool and called the friend back. "Did you hear?" he said. "No, hear what?" I answered. "News outlets were mobbing your street about an hour ago, and the news trucks were even in your driveway." I sat silent and confused. "Three men broke into your neighbor's place last night, tied him up at gunpoint, stole thousands of dollars worth of items, and took off with his car." I immediately fell to my knees and began crying. I had heard it all happen. I almost pressed the button. I almost, but I didn't. I felt completely unsafe. I asked a friend to come over for the night to stay with us, and it wasn't until the next day that I got the chance to speak to Ben. Ben explained the whole story and told me the cops wanted to talk to me so I could share what I heard and experienced. He said the men smashed the window in his basement and entered through there. That's the sound I heard before going to bed. Apparently, the timeline suggested that they saw my light and me peering out the window and waited 30 minutes or so until my light was out to enter the premises. They didn't realize he was home, and since he had gone to bed early that night, it was suggested that they came to his place beforehand. He had been asleep when one of them was rummaging through his stuff upstairs in his bedroom, which was directly on the other side of my closet through a shared wall. The sounds and shakes that I heard and felt were apparently the intruder knocking him down to the ground, after realizing Ben was there and cupping his mouth to tell him that if he made another sound, they would kill him. This is why I never heard another sound as I was investigating thereafter. After they tied him up, he remained tied up for over 12 hours and eventually broke free before calling the police. I cried again and apologized profusely to Ben and explained what I had heard. And he simply said that as he was tied up, all he could think about was that he was glad it didn't happen to me and my little girl. I really don't know what I would have done if my daughter and I had experienced that level of trauma. Ben seemed to be okay considering it all, but it took me so long to feel safe again and for the guilt to subside. They never caught the guys, and I ended up ordering a taser, which was illegal, and some mace. Even, for the first time in my life, considered getting a gun. But I decided against it. I have been fortunate to never experience anything close to that again, and certainly don't want to. I'm glad Ben was ultimately okay, but next time I'll listen to my instinct. It's better to be safe than sorry.